Welcome in to another episode of Home Field Advantage. My name is Will Highland. It is March 19th, 2024. And I hope you're having a great week wherever and however you may be listening to this podcast across our great country or our great land. Now, I said March 19th. This is coming out March 18th. Chances are you're listening on the 19th. Just a little bit of semantics there. And for those of you watching on YouTube, you'll probably notice that we have a different background. I changed up some things. I got the mic a little bit closer. We're going to just try and brighten the mood here and freshen things up as we head into spring. Hard to believe that the first day of spring is this week. But what's not hard to believe is that March Madness is starting, of course, finally. It's always weird that March Madness really concludes in April and doesn't really get going until two-thirds of the way into the month, but I digress. That's just always something that's bothered me. But does not matter. Here we are. Not hard to believe that we are already here, considering all the hype around that, all the hype around the NFL offseason. Our last show was with Kyle Diesel. We did an Odd Man Rush episode, talked all things NHL. So I encourage you to go listen to that in our feed. And we have opening day of Major League Baseball in 10 days. So we are in the midst of it. March is a great, great month for sports. We're going to talk a little bit of golf. We have the Masters coming up in early April. So it's a fantastic time to be a sports fan. And it's been a while since I did a full show that wasn't strictly hockey. So I think I did one about 9 days ago. And in the last 9 days, the NFL offseason has taken off. And in particular, the quarterback carousel has continued to be something that is on everyone's mind. Here in New England, there's almost the obsession with mock drafts. I have partook in that, whatever the correct verb form is. I have done that. My whole Twitter feed is lined up with mock drafts. A lot of that centers around who's going to play quarterback for the New England Patriots. I've told you for a few weeks now, I'm not going to give my full take on that until we get much closer to the draft. Because right now, much like I mentioned a moment ago, this time of year is all about hype. It's all about the hype. It's all about the rumors. And right now, there's just not a lot to dissect. There's a lot to speculate about. And I'll do my best as we get closer to give you a forecast that I think is accurate. But I don't have an immediate take on the Patriots in particular. What I do have, though, is an outline of the rest of the league. And what I've seen is there's been a lot of movement at the quarterback position in terms of number of transactions, but there hasn't been any earth-shaking moves that are going to change the landscape of the NFL, and here's why. Kirk Cousins going to the AFC South. That might help Atlanta win the division, but I don't think it makes the Falcons a favorite in the conference. Similarly, Russell Wilson going to the Steelers. Sure, he's obviously an upgrade over Kenny Pickett, in my opinion, but is Russell Wilson making the Pittsburgh Steelers a division favorite, at least? Chances are he's not, because people will still be bullish on the Bengals with Joe Burrow healthy. People will always be high on Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, as long as those two are on those two respective teams. And then elsewhere in the conference, you still have Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes leading their respective clubs. So I don't think Russell Wilson going to the Steelers makes that big of a difference in the AFC, much like Kirk going to Atlanta doesn't move the needle in the NFC. Then, meanwhile, you have a litany of teams, and I'll get to them in a second, but I want to double back to the Steelers and Vikings. and excuse me, Steelers and Falcons. But what you don't have is really a drastic needle there. And you also don't really have any other big moves going on. The rest of it, as I was beginning to say, is a litany of backups changing positions. It's a hodgepodge of has-beens trading places. It's not necessarily any movement at the quarterback position that's going to really influence the draft, right? Because what we saw out of the Chicago Bears was what we expected them to do for a few weeks now. You know, that was one of the pieces of speculation that actually came true, that they were going to move on from Justin Fields. We'll get to the Steelers in a moment. But the rest of it, I mean, New England still needs a quarterback. The Giants still need a quarterback. The Commanders still need a quarterback. The Broncos still need a quarterback. I mean, we knew these things. We knew the Broncos wanted to move on from Russell Wilson. We knew that the Bears wanted to move on from Justin Fields. Both of those guys found a new home in Pittsburgh. And we also knew that Minnesota probably wasn't going to roll out the checkbook for Kirk Cousins, and that they were going to end up being in the market for somebody either. So again, not just the volume of moves and the breadth of them, but also the impact of them, isn't something that I see being significant enough to move the needle. So I'm using a lot of idioms there, but just diving into the Steelers first, they clearly needed a quarterback. I mean, they had, since Big Ben left, and even in his 2019 injury, they had sort of been literally and figuratively hobbling along with whoever they could. And it was quite clear that Kenny Pickett in the 2022 draft, or was it the 2021 draft? I think it was the 2022 draft. That Kenny Pickett clearly wasn't the guy after 2 years. The same way Mac wasn't the guy in New England after 2 years, and the same way Fields wasn't the guy in Chicago after three. So, I mean, we saw that writing on the wall with Kenny Pickett. And look, Mason Rudolph wasn't going to be the answer. None of those other guys were going to be the answer. It was going to come in the offseason. What I didn't expect Pittsburgh to do is take a swing on both guys. They ended up getting Russell Wilson from the Broncos, essentially, although that was more of a cut situation. And then they traded for Justin Fields and gave up a conditional sixth-round pick. So there are strings attached to that pick, depending on how many snaps Fields takes in Pittsburgh. But either way, the Steelers are setting themselves up with not only Wilson as a proven Super Bowl-winning quarterback. Say what you want about his recent play, but he's a winner, and I think he went to a place like Pittsburgh a couple years too late. I am shocked that this all happened the way that it did. But they get a guy with a championship pedigree, and then they get a guy with a high upside who clearly needed a change of scenery. And what's interesting to me about the field situation specifically is that the Bears, I think, could have probably got more for Justin Fields. You know, maybe that trade wasn't there, which is why they didn't do it. But part of me thinks they just wanted to end it on good terms and get him out of the building so they could focus on drafting Caleb Williams number one overall, right? Like, that's what it seemed like to me. It seemed like the Bears were just ready to move on, and they just were trying to do him a favor and get him out of the building. And they weren't going to trade him to Minnesota, who needed a quarterback. We'll get to them in a second. They instead traded him to Pittsburgh. It was rumored that he wanted to go to Pittsburgh. He wanted to play for Mike Tomlin. So they did him a solid, the same way New England. I mean, maybe Jacksonville was the only one who was willing to give up something for Mac Jones. But, you know, they give Mac Jones an opportunity to go play for his hometown team. And they just rid themselves of the situation. So that's what the Bears did with Fields. Very clear that their next move will be to draft Caleb Williams number one overall. As for Wilson, we'll see what he's able to do there in Steel City. Part of me wonders if Russell Wilson has it in him to deal with this kind of pressure. I can't remember who the interview was with. It might have been, you know, Tom Pelissero or some other guy from Fox Sports back in the day, who did an interview with Russell Wilson before the Super Bowl against Denver in 2014. And I believe that was Super Bowl 48. And he was so relatable. He was young. He was charismatic. You know, you wanted to run through a wall for that guy. Now it seems like Russell Wilson's a little bit of a, you know, wild card. You're not quite sure what you're going to get out of him on the field and off the field. And Mike Tomlin doesn't seem like he puts up with a lot of BS. Think about the situation with Antonio Brown, right? How that went. Think about some of these other situations that have gone on in Pittsburgh. I'm wondering how that's going to go. We wondered how it was going to go with Sean Payton, and it clearly didn't go well. So with Wilson, we'll see. Like I said, I don't think it moves the needle. I think the Steelers are still going to be a meddling team. He's clearly an upgrade, but time will tell. All right, as for the Falcons and the Vikings in that trade situation, it wasn't a trade in the same literal manner that Fields was traded from Chicago to Pittsburgh, but it was more so that they both decided to move on from their quarterback situation. And in fact, they traded situations, not with one another, literally, but with the characteristics of the situation. For example, in Atlanta had no clue what they were doing. They didn't have a vision. They had tried guys in the draft, right? They had went for, Desmond Ridder. They had to move on from Matt Ryan, who was a struggling veteran quarterback whose best days were clearly behind him. He went to Indianapolis, is where quarterbacks' careers go to end. And that's what happened with Matt Ryan. And then they sort of struggled for a few years, and now they've landed on Kirk Cousins. Meanwhile, Minnesota had Kirk Cousins for this 5-year stretch and didn't accomplish what they wanted to accomplish with Kirk. You know, there was injuries, there was some ugly playoff losses and the like. But now they're the ones that are going to have to move on from a veteran and go look in the draft or go look somewhere else, right? And I don't think them bringing in Minnesota, that is, bringing in Sam Darnold is the answer. And I'm not completely convinced that Atlanta is really sure of their future beyond an aging Kirk Cousins. Because he seems like a temporary solution to a long-term problem. You had Matt Ryan for a decade plus, brought you to a Super Bowl. We don't have to talk about that. But you, Kirk Cousins has been known in his career, number one, to choke. And now he's going to the biggest choke franchise in the league. I find that funny just from a comical point of view and an observation point of view. But on the football field, Kirk Cousins is aging, and so they're going to have to start over at that position, right? I thought they would be a lot better suited to try and trade up for a surefire person in the draft they believed in, because I'm not even sure they believed in Desmond Ridder. You know, the same way the Panthers never believed in Matt Corral, the same way the Steelers never believed in Kenny Pickett, and so on and so on. Or the same way that the Titans didn't believe in Malik Willis, so much so that they got Will Levis the next year. It seems like that's the situation that Atlanta finds themselves in, is they bring in Kirk. Kirk is good. He's a short-term problem. He's going to win you games. He's going to put you in the driver's seat in that division to compete right alongside Tampa with Baker. But I'm not sure that's going to solve Atlanta's long-term problem. And I get it. The NFL's what-have-you-done-for-me-lately kind of league. They're looking to get relevant fast and quick. Who knows? They might be able to put it together with a young roster. They've been drafting at the top of the draft a lot. They got Kyle Pitts. They got some other good pieces. But I'm not convinced. Meanwhile, the Vikings, They bring in Sam Darnold, like I said. I'm not sure that is a worthwhile proposition. Chances are he's a bridge guy. Question is, who is he a bridge guy to? Right? For example, the Vikings are clearly going to look to draft another franchise quarterback. Sam Darnold in year what? Five? Isn't a franchise quarterback. He's not. He's going to be a career backup, much like Mac Jones, much like Josh Rosen, much like any other Trey Lance, any other person who's been drafted high, who hasn't panned out, they're going to end up being a solid career backup. But Sam Darnold's not the long-term answer of a franchise that has talent around them, like Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and a solid defense and a good young coach. You have to think that O'Connell is going to try and bring in a rookie QB or wait for another big name quarterback to get disgruntled. Could that be Justin Herbert? Depending on how that goes in LA Chargers, I don't know. Could that be Kyler Murray? I'm not sure. Could that be Dak Prescott one day? I'm not sure. Could that end up being a litany of guys? Could that end up being Trevor Lawrence some one day? Could that end up being Daniel Jones? Question is, there's a lot of guys out there in the league that they could look to as a veteran option if Darnold is simply going to be a bridge. But my understanding is they're going to look to get a guy. The question is, who are you going to get? Are you going to make a swing for someone like Bo Nix or Michael Penix or J.J. McCarthy? Somebody who's not in that upper echelon but might be available. Are you going to make a swing for somebody lower, low risk, like a Sam Hartman of sorts, right? Or a Jordan Travis? You could see a team do that, whether it's the Vikings or someone else. Chances are, in my opinion, they're going to go much like Denver now that they don't have somebody in the building. Look, because Jarrett Stidham and Sam Darnold are knocking the doors down, they're going to end up going and drafting somebody. The question is, who's that going to be? Is it going to be McCarthy? Is it going to be Nix? Is it going to be Penix? Is it going to be Hartman? Is it going to be somebody else? Now, I mentioned Daniel Jones a few minutes ago. So moving on from the Vikings and the Falcons and the Steelers and the Broncos for a second, there's been a lot of movement of these backups like I've talked about. And I think Daniel Jones is headed that way. Problem is, Daniel Jones has a big contract. I don't think the Giants believe in him anymore. But here's the question. Daniel Jones is going to be healthy, presumably. Would you rather have Daniel Jones or J.J. McCarthy? Would you rather have Daniel Jones? I'm talking about next year. Would you rather have Daniel Jones or Bo Nix? Would you rather have Daniel Jones or, Michael Penix? Would you rather have Daniel Jones or Drake May? Right? Now all of a sudden, that calculus changes. If I was the New York Giants GM, you just watched Saquon Barkley leave to go to the Eagles. You bottled that. You clearly bottled the Daniel Jones thing. I think you have to start over. And I think you have to do what Denver did with Russ, and you have to just move on from the contract and defer the cap money and the dead cap money and all that other crap. You're going to have to do that. It's not going to be easy, but it might be your only option. Because people in the Meadowlands are going to start burning jerseys if things don't turn around there for either one of their teams. And we're not going to even get to the Jets quarterback, who I'm not even going to entertain that whole saga right now. The situation New York Giants find themselves in is one where they don't really like Daniel Jones, but they paid him 12 months ago. Yikes. Meanwhile, you have other situations where you see buyer's remorse, or at least a little bit of it. What are the Cleveland Browns doing? Like, they bring in Tyler Huntley. They got another backup there. I forget his name. Thompson, I think. They obviously have the Deshaun Watson situation. They're in a division that just got harder with Russ, Lamar, and Burrow. All right? One of those guys has won two MVPs. The other one has been to a Super Bowl and is still really young and is probably one of the best young quarterbacks in the game when healthy. And the third guy is looking to resurrect the twilight of his career with a team that still knows how to compete and win. The Browns are in a whole lot of hurt. And I don't know what they're going to do. But they certainly have buyer's remorse. And they gave Deshaun all that guaranteed money. I have no clue how they're going to rid themselves of that situation. Elsewhere, we've seen situations that are getting a little weird, but I think you can see the solution there. For example, in Indianapolis, they bring in Joe Flacco, another backup trading places, right? Going from Cleveland to Indianapolis via free agency. Not the first time you've seen something like that happen, right? Joe Flacco just whipping out a career here. That's another guy who's won a Super Bowl. It's hard to believe that Joe Flacco's won a Super Bowl and he's on his fourth team in 5 years or something like that. It's wild. He's also very old. But I digress. They're in a situation where Anthony Richardson, clearly not ready yet. And so Joe Flacco's an insurance policy. You see the Titans, they want to go to Will Levis so bad. They're bringing in so many weapons. They're literally going to run an air raid offense. They're just going to say, Will, chuck it down the field. I promise you, no one ever said that to me at recess. But that's what the Titans are going to do. They've got DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley. It's going to be just do what you can to get the ball down the field. They want Levis to work. The Seahawks, so you can see a solution there if Levis can flourish. I can see a solution in Seattle. They have a sort of a jumbled QB room. Drew Lock, I think, is on a different team now. I forget where he is now, honestly. But he was part of that Wilson trade to get from Wilson from Seattle to Denver. He's now not even in Seattle anymore. I honestly forget what team he's on. That's how irrelevant he is, because now you've got Sam Howell, former teammate of Drake May, or former friend and confidant of Drake May, who's now leaving Washington and going to Seattle to back up Geno Smith. They look like they're going to swing next year. I think that's what the Seahawks are going to do. I think they're going to swing next year. Look, I know Geno got extended. I don't see it. I think they're going to go for a Jalen Milroe or Quinn Ewers or Shedeur Sanders or somebody like that next year, or a KJ Jefferson or whomever, or a Cade Klubnik or whatever ends up, or the kid in Utah. Any of those guys in college next year who end up being this next crop, that's who Seattle is going to go for. I thought they were going to do this last year with Caleb Williams this year, but we'll see. So you can see all these situations, this big stew of quarterbacks just moving around, changing places. And I've spent 20 minutes talking about it. I don't think it's going to change a damn thing. I don't think it's going to change a damn thing. I think you're still going to be looking at a situation, and I know I've used that word a lot, you're going to be looking at an NFL landscape in about 9 months that looks the same as it did last year. I don't think it means a damn thing. I think the Chiefs are right where they're going to be. I think the Bills are going to be around. I think the Dolphins will be around in the mix. I think the Bengals Bengals and Texans will be around on the periphery too. I think if Joe Burrow can get healthy, I think they'll be a favorite. And so all these things in the AFC side are true. And then the NFC side, I mean, just find me a reason to believe that San Francisco is not going to be around at the end of the year, that Philly's not going to be knocking on the door, that Dallas is not going to be knocking on the door. Maybe you get Atlanta rising, you know, to try and get the job done, but I don't know. It's easier said than done. Clearly, Kirk knows that. All right. Speaking of knowing that it's easier said than done, I think the rest of the PGA Tour knows that it's easier said than done to beat Scottie Scheffler right now. I think Scottie Scheffler, if you want to talk about an individual male athlete over the last calendar year, I think he might be the most dominant individual male athlete over the last calendar year. Now, that sounds weird, considering if you pull up his wins, which I'm going to do for you, his PGA Tour wins. He won the Masters in 2022. He won the, and he's been world number one since 2022. But when you look at his wins, and I'm pulling them up, he has been second in the PGA Championship last year. I believe Brooks ended up winning that. He won his Masters in 2022. He was second in the U.S. Open in 2022. And he won, let's see here. Yes, of course. He won the Players on Sunday. He won the Players last year. In the Players Championship, a lot of people call that golf's fifth major. He won the API last week. So he won the Arnold Palmer Invitational last week in the Players Championship last week. So on March 10th and March 17th, in the span of 7 days, he had two tour wins. He also won the Waste Management Phoenix Open in 2023 in February. And he won the API in 2022 and the Waste Management in 2022. So just to... He's a repeat winner in three different tour events. Now, they're not majors, and I know I said calendar year, so maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, but he literally has repeated the Waste Management Open. He's repeated the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Oh, he didn't repeat, but he's won it twice. He won it in 22 and 24. But he did repeat the Players. I mean, that's crazy. This guy wins, and he finishes high all the time. At the Masters, he was tied for 10th last year, a down year for Scotty, right? The Open in 2021, he was 8th. Then he was in top 25 in the last 2 years. So far, he hasn't done well in the Open. But every time he's been in the U.S. Open in his career, except for 2019 when he was cut, but for 21, 22, and 23, he's top 10, including two top fives. He is in the PGA Championship. He was cut in 22, but he was top 10 the other three times he's played in the tournament. And then he's won the Masters and he was 10th last year. I mean, this is nuts. He's crazy good. And I would take him over any other pro golfer. If you told me, Will, you got to have one guy win you one match or win you one tournament, it'd be Scottie Scheffler. And you could put him up against Cam Smith or Brooks Koepka or DJ or anyone or Rahm. Or anyone else who's left the PGA Tour for LIV. You know, Cam used to say that the PGA Tour is dead and dying. I think Scottie Scheffler is keeping it alive. His dominance and his relevancy in the sport at being world number one for 2 years. But you could take any one of those LIV guys, I'd pick Scottie Scheffler. Similarly, you can take any other person in the PGA Tour right now. JT, who's won a major, Rory, who's won majors. You can have younger guys like Xander Schauffele, who is an Olympic gold medalist, take any one of those guys, I'm still taking Scottie Scheffler. And the reason is his putting is so good. If he had not had the amazing tournament yesterday where he ended up winning because he was birdieing everything else, you would look at the two putts he missed, right? But what you don't look at is all the great shots he made, because he would have won the tournament by, I think, two or three strokes had he made his putts on like 16 and 17. But Scotty was playing so well otherwise that Xander or Clark or Harmon or any of the other guys who were chasing him weren't going to catch him, because he has that Tiger-like, and now I'm not going to be that guy that compares every single golfer to Tiger Woods, but he does have that Tiger-like ability on a Sunday to put a charge in and put seeds of doubt in other people's minds. He has that ability. People know, especially when he's not in the last group, they know what score he posted. They know, they see where he is on the course and what he's been doing. It was apparent yesterday at the Players. It was apparent last year at the Players. The API he's dominating, he's dominated Phoenix. I think Scottie Scheffler has to be the Masters favorite. I believe he has 5-1 odds. I would take him over anyone else in the golf world right now. And to put a cherry on top, the dude is the most humble guy I've ever seen. So in order to be his hype man, I have to take all of the arrogance that he would have and channel it through this podcast. Big Scottie Scheffler fan over here. All right. Also, I'm a big fan of doing brackets for March Madness. I am. I like them. I know absolutely nothing about the intricacies of college basketball. I only watch this time of year, and I'm one of those guys. You know, you got UConn, Houston, Purdue. I forget the other four seed. UConn, I think, is the favorite. They're the defending champ, but it's been 8 years since a defending champ made it past the Sweet 16. North Carolina, of course. They're the other one seed, and I believe they won the tournament in 2022. So there's a lot of meat on the bone there if you're talking about the most recent champions playing one another. But here's where it gets dicey. We all know there's going to be an upset within the next few days. We know that this weekend, we know that's going to happen. There's going to be a major upset. A 2 seed or a 1 seed, at best or worst, depending on how you look at it, a 3 seed is going to fall this weekend. I'm not going to pretend I haven't filled out my bracket yet. I'm also not going to pretend to be knowledgeable about any of this. I'm just going to tell you that they call it March Madness, of course, for a reason. Apparently, the reason isn't that the tournament concludes in March and is completed in this month, but they use alliteration there. But it's quite clear that that there's going to be some chaos, because UConn is the only 1 seed that won its conference. And there's a lot of people complaining and talking about the NIT and who did or didn't deserve to get in and conferences and all this stuff. It sounds very similar to what we heard in January about Florida State in the college football playoff. I think I've made my point on that. But look, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert. I'm just going to point out the March Madness, this is the consequence of having a 68-team tournament. Think about this. A 68-team tournament. And people are still complaining about who doesn't get in. 68 teams make it. 68 teams. People still complaining about getting in. And this is a consequence, though. Like, how big do you want the tournament to be? Do you want it to be 120 people? How about 256? What if we did 512? Would that satisfy everybody? No. So let's just put our big boy pants on. Remember that we live in a world where everyone's opinion they believe is gospel. They can tweet about it. They can talk about it. They can post about it. And I guarantee you that if Twitter and social media in general didn't exist, people would have been over it already. And look, maybe an old timer can tell me that it used to be that way when the USA Today would post the bracket the next day and all this stuff. Maybe it was, but people would usually drive on. Nowadays, it becomes a tribal sensation. And guess what? Someone's always going to get left out because it's sports. Not everybody wins. Sometimes you get left out, all right? Sometimes you don't get picked for the team at recess, all right? And that's what I see happening in college sports now. It's just, I didn't get picked. I didn't get, same thing with the NFL, honestly, or NBA or NHL or MLB. I didn't get picked. I deserve this. I deserve that. A lot of entitlement. And look, there are certainly teams that deserve to get in that didn't. There are also teams that got in that maybe shouldn't have because of, you know, TV things and stuff like that. I saw stuff about the Mountain West getting a lot of teams in because, you know, CBS has their contract and all that. Look, I'd be naive if I said that wasn't partially true. But we just have to just be careful that we just oversimplify everything because the internet told us to. And let's not ruin March Madness because it's the NBA is not exciting until the spring. March Madness is still exciting right now, so I want to be able to enjoy it. And by the way, I hate to be Johnny Raincloud, but nobody cares about your bracket. Don't post your bracket on social media. I just please don't. No one's going to read it. I'm not trying to be a contrarian. Who knows? I might post my bracket and renege on all of this, but I'll just say that your bracket is your bracket. And if you've shared online, I don't know if you filled out 30 of them. All right. So which bracket is your bracket and which one's the one you're sharing on social media? And no one cares about your bracket after the 2 seed lost. I'm sorry. Like, everyone's bracket sucks at that point. Look, if you want to share it with friends and family, or, you know, if you're doing a pool at school or at work or something, you're sharing, that's one thing. But to just aimlessly post online and then your whole timeline is, oh, my bracket's busted. Oh, look at my bracket. My bracket's still great. It's like, guys, most of us are just picking the team of the schools that we like the most. That's nothing to do with the basketball, usually. All right. Speaking of schools that I like the most, Maine, 5-0 win over the University of No Hardware. They're moving on to the Hockey East semifinals at TD Garden. Big time for Maine. They haven't done that in 12 years. It's been fantastic what Ben Barr's done with that program. So shout out Black Bears. Great day to be a Black Bear. Also, speaking of March Madness, shout out to the UMaine women's basketball team. Amy Vachon is the GOAT. They are going to be playing Duke, actually. No, not Duke. That's who Vermont is playing on the men's side. They're playing Ohio State, the UMaine women. And so that will tip off on Friday. So I'll be rooting for our basketball team here. Maybe that will be one of those upsets on the women's side. And last but not least, speaking of things that drive me nuts, you know, I just ranted about March Madness for a little bit. I'm really sick of Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell being unemployed. I read yesterday that Blake Snell was going to throw for scouts today. Blake Snell was going to throw for scouts. Blake Snell won the Cy Young last year. He's been to a World Series. He's a consensus top 5, top 10 starting pitcher in baseball the last few years. Why does he need to throw in front of scouts? You know, like, I get it. Like, if you're an older guy who hasn't pitched in a few years, you're going to throw in front of scouts. Yeah, sure. The scouts, where were you last year when he won the Cy Young? Why doesn't Blake Snell have a job? Also, Jordan Montgomery won a World Series. Why doesn't he have a job? It's March 19th. It's unbelievable. So that pisses me off. Maybe by the time I record my podcast next week, that will come out at the end of this week, maybe one of those guys will get signed, but I don't think so. It's just completely bizarre to me, and it drives me bonkers. So I know I got into a little bit of a rant there, But I think, long story short, there's a lot to look forward to in the month of March. There's a lot to analyze: quarterbacks, golf, March Madness, hockey, baseball. It is a great time in sports here. And it is a time when, you know, we can get caught up in this stuff. But we should enjoy this. Enjoy it. Just enjoy it for all that it's worth. You know, all the streaming services we pay for, this is the time of year to enjoy it. I hope that whatever you subscribe to, though, you keep this podcast as part of your lineup. And while this does it for this episode, we'll be back, as I mentioned a few moments ago, with another podcast later in the week. You can follow us on social at Homefield Pod on both Twitter and Instagram. You can also subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts and here on YouTube, unless you're, you know, not a fan of seeing my face and my new background. But until then, and until the next time we meet, I hope you all have a great rest of your week. My name is Will Highland, and you have been listening and watching Homefield Advantage. If you liked this podcast, please subscribe on your favorite provider, including Spotify, Apple, Google, and Stitcher. Be sure to also check us out 2 times a week on those platforms, on Monday and on Thursday. All of the Sportland USA programs are independent, and the opinions expressed in them do not reflect those of any other company, outlet, person, or entity.